The Evolutionary Void by Peter F. Hamilton. Narrated by John Lee. 1. The starship had no name. It didn't have a serial number or even a mark. Only one of its kind had ever been built. As no more would ever be required, no designation was needed. It was simply the ship. It streaked through the substructure of space-time at 59 light-years an hour. The fastest anything built by humans had ever traveled. Navigation at that awesome velocity was by quantum interstice similarity interpretation, which determined the relative location of mass in the real universe beyond. This alleviated the use of crude Heis radar, or any other sensor that might possibly be detected. The extremely sophisticated ultra-drive that powered it might have reached even greater speeds if a considerable fraction of its phenomenal energy hadn't been used for fluctuation suppression. That meant there was no telltale distortion amid the quantum fields to betray its position to other starships that might wish to hunt it. As well as its formidable stealth ability, the ship was big, a fat ovoid, over 600 meters long and 200 meters across at the center. But its real advantage came from its armaments. There were weapons on board that could knock out half a dozen Commonwealth, Navy, Capital-class ships while barely stirring out of standby mode. The weapons had been verified only once. The ship had flown over 10,000 light-years from the Greater Commonwealth to test them so as to avoid detection. For millennia to come, primitive alien civilizations in that section of the galaxy would worship as gods the colorful nebulae expanding across the interstellar wastes. Even now, sitting in the ship's clean hemispherical cabin with the flight path imagery playing quietly in her exovision, Neskia remembered with a little shiver of excitement and apprehension the stars splitting asunder. It had been one thing to run the clandestine fabrication station for the Accelerator faction, dispatching ships and equipment to various agents and representatives. That was easy, cold machinery functioning with a precision she could take pride in. But seeing the weapons active was slightly different. She'd felt a level of perturbation she hadn't known in over 2 centuries, ever since she became higher and began her inward migration. Not that she questioned her belief in the accelerators. It was just the sheer potency of the weapons that struck her at some primitive level that could never be fully exercised from the human psyche. She was awed by the power of what she alone commanded. Other elements of her animal past had been erased quietly and effectively, first with bionics and acceptance of higher cultural philosophy, culminating in her embrace of Accelerator faction tenets, then by committing to a subtle rejection of her existing body form, as if to emphasize her new beliefs. Her skin now was a shimmering metallic gray, the epidermal cells imbued with a contemporary semi-organic fiber that established itself in perfect symbiosis. The face that had caused many a man to turn in admiration when she was younger now wore a more efficient, flatter profile, with big saucer eyes bionically modified to look across a multitude of spectra. Her neck also had been stretched, its increased flexibility allowing her head much greater maneuverability. Underneath the gently shimmering skin, her muscles had been strengthened to a level that would allow her to keep up with a terrestrial panther on its kill run, and that was before bionic augmentation kicked in. However, it was her mind that had undergone the greatest evolution. She'd stopped short of bio-neural profiling simply because she didn't need any genetic reinforcement to her beliefs. Worship was a crude term for thought processes, but she was certainly devoted to her cause. She had dedicated herself completely to the accelerators at a fully emotional level. The old human concerns and biological imperatives simply didn't affect her anymore. Her intellect was involved solely with the faction and its goal. For the past 50 years, their projects and plans had been all that triggered her satisfaction and suffering. Her integration was total. She was the epitome of accelerator values. That was why she'd been chosen to fly the ship by the faction leader, Ilanthi, on this mission. That, and that alone, made her content. The ship began to slow as it approached the coordinate Neskia had supplied to the Smart Core. Speed ebbed away until it hung inertly in transdimensional suspension, while her navigation